Section 1. Introduction. There is a federal requirement that each state have minimum standards for the licensing of commercial drivers. This manual provides driver license testing information for drivers who wish to have a commercial driver license, CDL. This manual does not provide information on all the federal and state requirements needed before you can drive a commercial motor vehicle, CMV. You may have to contact your state driver licensing authority for additional information. You must have a CDL to operate. Any single vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR, of 26,001 pounds or more. A combination vehicle with a gross combination weight rating, GCWR, of 26,001 or more pounds, provided the GVWR of the vehicle being towed is in excess of 10,000 pounds. A vehicle designed to transport 16 or more passengers, including the driver. Any size vehicle which requires hazardous material placards or is carrying material listed as a select agent or toxin in 42 CFR Part 73. Federal regulations through the Department of Homeland Security require a background check and fingerprinting for the hazardous materials endorsement. Contact your local Department of Driver Licensing for more information. Your state may have additional definitions of CMVs. CDL classifications. The CDL vehicle classification included in the federal standard, together with the type of cargo to be transported, determine what type of CDL license and endorsement an applicant must apply for. There are three basic vehicle classes or groups. Class A combination vehicles. Any combination of vehicles with gross combination weight rating, GCWR, of 26,001 or more pounds falls in Group A provided the GVWR of the vehicle being towed is more than 10,000 pounds. Most Class A vehicles are trucks such as truck-tractor, semi-trailer or truck and trailer combinations. However, tractor-trailer buses may be found in a few communities. Driving a Class A vehicle requires considerably more skill and knowledge than driving vehicles in Classes B and C. Since these skills include those required to drive a B and C vehicle, a driver who has a Class A license also may drive vehicles in Classes B and C. Class B heavy straight vehicles. Any single vehicle with a GVWR of 26,001 or more pounds falls in Group B, or any such vehicle towing another vehicle not in excess of 10,000 pounds GVWR. Class B includes straight trucks and large buses, including articulated buses. Safely driving these heavy vehicles requires considerably more knowledge and skill than driving the small trucks and buses found in Class C. Since they include the skills required to drive Class C vehicles, drivers who have qualified for a Class B license may also drive vehicles in Class C. Class C small vehicles. Any single vehicle with a GVWR less than 26,001 pounds falls in Group C, or any such vehicle towing another vehicle not in excess of 10,000 pounds GVWR. However, vehicles of this size are included in the CDL program only if they are 1. Designed to carry 16 or more passengers including the driver, or 2. Used to transport hazardous materials in quantities requiring placarding under the Hazardous Materials Regulations, 49 CFR Part 172, Subpart F, or is carrying material listed as a select agent or toxin in 42 CFR Part 73. There are a great variety of vehicles in Class C. Some rather large Class C vehicles may require more skill and knowledge to operate than do the smaller ones. However, the licensing category is based principally on the type of cargo carried. Because of the seriousness of an accident involving hazardous material or human passengers, the safe operation of even the smaller vehicles in Class C requires special knowledge and the drivers of these vehicles must have a CDL. State options. Some states may include more drivers and vehicles in their CDL programs. For example, in some states, a CDL may be required for buses designed to carry fewer than 16 passengers. Going beyond the federal standard is acceptable and the state will need to decide which battery of tests applies to these drivers or develop a new battery. CDL endorsements and restrictions. Endorsements. All commercial drivers who drive certain types of vehicles or haul certain types of cargo must add endorsements to their CDL license and/or commercial learner's permit, CLP. To show that they have the specialized knowledge required for these operations. There are six kinds of CDL endorsements that may be required, depending on the vehicle or type of cargo. Note. The only endorsements that may be added to a commercial learner's permit, CLP, are passenger, P, school bus, S, and tank vehicle, N. Double and triple trailers, T. Many drivers who are qualified to drive Class A vehicles may wish to pull double or triple trailers. Research shows that considerable additional knowledge and skill is necessary to safely pull double and triple trailers in various traffic conditions and driving environments. Consequently, adding the endorsement to the licenses of Class A drivers is necessary if they wish to pull double or triple trailers. A special knowledge examination on the problems associated with pulling multiple trailers must be passed. Tank vehicle, N. Drivers of any commercial motor vehicle that is designed to transport any liquid or gaseous materials within a tank or tanks having an individual rated capacity of more than 119 gallons and an aggregate rated capacity of 1,000 gallons or more that is either permanently or temporarily attached to the vehicle or the chassis must obtain this endorsement. Applies to Class A, B, and C, only applicable to Class C if the vehicle is hauling hazardous materials, vehicles. Liquids in bulk cause driving control problems because the cargo is heavy, prone to shifting, and has a high center of gravity. These drivers must pass a special knowledge examination on the problems posed by large volume liquid cargos to add the endorsement to their CDL, CLP. Passengers, P. Drivers who wish to drive a vehicle having a design capacity to carry 16 or more people, including the driver, must add a passenger endorsement to their CDL, CLP. They must pass a special knowledge examination on safety considerations when transporting passengers and must pass skills tests in a passenger vehicle. The endorsement applies to applicants who wish to drive a bus in any class, A, B, or C. Hazardous materials, H. Any driver, regardless of the vehicle class, group, A, B, or C, who wishes to haul any material that has been designated as hazardous under 49 U.S.C. 5103 and is required to be placarded under subpart F of 49 CFR part 172, or any quantity of a material listed as a select agent or toxin 42 CFR part 73 must add a hazardous materials endorsement to their CDL. S. He must pass a special written examination on how to recognize, handle, and transport hazardous materials. The Transportation Security Administration, TSA, and the U.S. Department of Transportation require background checks on commercial drivers who are certified to transport hazardous materials. The background checks include a review of criminal, immigration, and FBI records. If the driver is found to represent a security threat, TSA will notify the person and the state will deny issuance of an endorsement. Combination Hazardous Materials and Tank Vehicle, X. Drivers of tank vehicles who haul hazardous materials or waste in amounts requiring placards must add an X endorsement to their CDL, showing that they have passed the special knowledge examinations for both tank vehicles and hazardous materials. School buses, S. Drivers who wish to drive a school bus must add a school bus endorsement to their CDL, CLP. They must pass a special knowledge examination on safety considerations when transporting passengers in a school bus and must pass skills tests in a school bus. The endorsement applies to applicants who wish to drive a school bus in any class, A, B, or C. In addition to these six required endorsements, states may add special endorsements of their own as they see fit. Restrictions. Restrictions may be added to commercial driver licenses, permits based upon the type of vehicle and equipment that the driver uses for the skills test. There are 10 standardized restriction codes. Note. If a CLP is issued with a passenger, P, or a school bus, S, endorsement, it must also contain a, P, no passengers in a CMV bus restriction. If a CLP is issued with a tanker, N, endorsement, it must also contain a, X, no cargo in a CMV tank vehicle. E. No manual transmission. If an applicant performs the skills test in a vehicle equipped with an automatic transmission, the state must indicate on the CDL, if issued, that the person is restricted from operating a CMV equipped with a manual transmission. For the purposes of the skills test and the restriction, an automatic transmission includes any transmission not operating fully on the gear shift and clutch principle. K. Intrastate only. If an applicant certifies their status as either non-accepted intrastate or accepted intrastate, the state must indicate on the CDL, if issued, that person is restricted from operating a CMV in interstate commerce. States may impose this restriction for reasons other than those specified above. L. No air brake equipped CMV. If an applicant does not take or fails the air brake component of the knowledge test, or performs the skills test in a vehicle not equipped with air brakes, the state must indicate on the CLP or CDL, if issued, that the person is restricted from operating a CMV equipped with any type of air brakes. For the purposes of the skills test and the restriction, air brakes include any braking system operating fully or partially on the air brake principle. M. No Class A passenger vehicle. If an applicant applying for a passenger endorsement performs the skills test in a passenger vehicle requiring a Group B CDL, the state must indicate on the CDL, if issued, that the person is restricted from operating a passenger vehicle requiring a Group A CDL. N. No Class A and B passenger vehicle. If an applicant applying for a passenger endorsement performs the skills test in a passenger vehicle requiring a Group C CDL, the state must indicate on the CDL, if issued, that the person is restricted from operating a passenger vehicle requiring a Group A or B CDL. O. No tractor-trailer CMV. If an applicant performs the skills test in a combination vehicle for a Group A CDL with the power unit and towed unit connected with a pintle hook or other non-fifth wheel connection, the state must indicate on the CDL, if issued, that the person is restricted from operating a tractor-trailer combination connected by a fifth wheel that requires a Group A CDL. An applicant who passes a skills test using a combination vehicle that is NOT a truck-tractor-semi-trailer combination, but is otherwise equipped with a fifth wheel, will be issued a CDL with an O restriction. P. No passengers in CMV bus. A CLP holder with a P endorsement is prohibited from operating a CMV carrying passengers, other than federal, state auditors and inspectors, test examiners, other trainees, and the CDL holder accompanying the CLP holder as prescribed by Section CFR 383.25(1) of this part. A CLP holder with AS endorsement is prohibited from operating a school bus with passengers, other than federal, state auditors and inspectors, test examiners, other trainees, and the CDL holder accompanying the CLP holder as prescribed by Section CFR 383.25(1) of this part. V. Medical variants. If the state is notified according to Section 383.73(3) that the driver has been issued a medical variance, the state must indicate the existence of such a medical variance on the CDLIS driver record in the CDL document, if issued, using the restriction code V, to indicate there is information about a medical variance on the CDLIS driver record. X. No cargo in CMV tank vehicle. A CLP holder with an N endorsement may only operate an empty tank vehicle and is prohibited from operating any tank vehicle that previously contained hazardous materials that has not been purged of any residue. Z. No full air brake equipped CMV. If an applicant performs the skills test in a vehicle equipped with air over hydraulic brakes, the state must indicate on the CDL, if issued, that the person is restricted from operating a CMV equipped with any braking system operating fully on the air brake principle. For the purposes of the skills test and the restriction, air over hydraulic brakes includes any braking system operating partially on the air brake and partially on the hydraulic brake principle. Any additional jurisdictional restrictions that apply to the CLP driving privilege. To get a CDL or CLP. To get a Florida CDL or CLP, you must hold a Florida Class E license and pass knowledge and skills tests. This manual will help you pass the tests, however, it is not a substitute for a truck driver training class or program. Formal training is the most reliable way to learn the many special skills required for safely driving a large commercial vehicle and becoming a professional driver in the trucking industry. 1.1 Commercial Driver License Tests. 1.1.1 Knowledge Tests. You will have to take one or more knowledge tests, depending on what class of license and what endorsements you need. The CDL knowledge tests include the general knowledge test, taken by all applicants, the passenger transport test, taken by all bus driver applicants, the air brakes test, which you must take if your vehicle has air brakes, including air over hydraulic brakes, the combination vehicles test, which is required if you want to drive combination vehicles, The hazardous materials test is required if you want to haul hazardous materials as defined in 49 CFR 383.5. In order to obtain this endorsement, you are also required to pass a Transportation Security Administration, TSA, background check. The tank vehicle test, required if you want to haul any liquid or gaseous materials in a tank or tanks having an individual rated capacity of more than 119 gallons and an aggregate rated capacity of 1,000 gallons or more that is either permanently or temporarily attached to the vehicle or chassis. The doubles, triples test, is required if you want to pull double or triple trailers. The school bus test, is required if you want to drive a school bus. 1.1.2 skills tests. If you pass the required knowledge test, you can take the CDL skills test when you are eligible. The CDL skills test consists of three segments: vehicle inspection, basic vehicle control, and on-road driving. You must take the segments in the order listed and must pass each one before moving to the next. You must take these tests in the type of vehicle for which you wish to be licensed. Any vehicle that has components marked or labeled cannot be used for the CDL skills test. Vehicle inspection. You will be tested to see if you know whether your vehicle is safe to drive. You will be asked to do a vehicle inspection of your vehicle. You must point to, touch and name the item you are inspecting and explain to the examiner what you would inspect and why. Basic vehicle control. You will be tested on your skill to control the vehicle. You will be asked to move your vehicle forward, backward, and turn it within a defined area. These areas may be marked with traffic lanes, cones, barriers, or something similar. The examiner will tell you how each control test is to be done. On-road test. You will be tested on your skill to safely drive your vehicle in a variety of traffic situations. The situations may include left and right turns, intersections, railroad crossings, curves, up and down grades, single or multi-lane roads, streets, or highways. The examiner will tell you where to drive. 1.2 Medical Documentation Requirements. Starting January 30, 2012 and no later than January 30, 2014, if you are applying for a CDL permit, or are renewing, upgrading, adding endorsements to a CDL, or transferring a CDL from another state, you are required to provide information to your state driver's license agency, SDLA, regarding the type of commercial motor vehicle operation you drive in or expect to drive in with your CDL. Drivers operating in certain types of commerce will be required to submit a current medical examiner's certificate and/or any medical variance documents that you have been issued, for example, vision, skills performance or diabetic waivers, or other exemptions, to your SDLA to obtain a certified medical status as part of your driving record. You must contact your state driver licensing agency, SDLA, to obtain information regarding the requirement for submitting these documents. If you are required to have a certified medical status and fail to provide and keep up to date your medical examiner's certificate, you become not certified and may lose your CDL. For the purpose of complying with the new requirements for medical certification, it is important to know how you are using the CMV. The following information will help you decide how to self-certify. 1.2.1 Interstate or Intrastate Commerce. Do you, or will you, use a CDL to operate a CMV in interstate or intrastate commerce? Interstate commerce is when you drive a CMV from one state to another state or a foreign country, between two places within a state, but during part of the trip, the CMV crosses into another state or foreign country, or between two places within a state, but the cargo or passengers are part of a trip that began or will end in another state or foreign country. Intrastate commerce is when you drive a CMV within a state and you do not meet any of the descriptions above for interstate commerce. If you operate in both intrastate commerce and interstate commerce, you must choose interstate commerce. 1.2.2 Intrastate Commerce, status non-accepted or accepted. Once you decide whether you will operate in interstate commerce or intrastate commerce, you must decide whether you will operate, or expect to operate, in a non-accepted or accepted status. This decision will tell you to which of the four types of commerce you must self-certify. Interstate Commerce. You operate in accepted interstate commerce when you drive a CMV in interstate commerce only for the following accepted activities: to transport school children and or school staff between home and school, as federal, state or local government employees, to transport human corpses or sick or injured persons, fire truck or rescue vehicle drivers during emergencies and other related activities, primarily in the transportation of propane winter heating fuel when responding to an emergency condition requiring immediate response such as damage to a propane gas system after a storm or flooding. In response to a pipeline emergency condition requiring immediate response such as a pipeline leak or rupture. In custom harvesting on a farm or to transport farm machinery and supplies used in the custom harvesting operation to and from a farm or to transport custom harvested crops to storage or market. Beekeeper in the seasonal transportation of bees. Controlled and operated by a farmer, but is not a combination vehicle, power unit and towed unit, and is used to transport agricultural products, farm machinery or farm supplies, no placardable hazardous materials, to and from a farm and within 150 air miles of the farm. As a private motor carrier of passengers for non-business purposes, or to transport migrant workers. If you answered yes to one or more of the above activities as the only operation in which you drive, you operate in accepted interstate commerce and do not need a federal medical examiner's certificate. If you answered no to all of the above activities, you operate in non-accepted interstate commerce and are required to provide a current medical examiner's certificate, 49 CFR 391.45, commonly referred to as a medical certificate or DOT card, to your state driver licensing agency, SDLA. Most CDL holders who drive CMVs in interstate commerce are non-accepted interstate commerce drivers. If you operate in both accepted interstate commerce and non-accepted interstate commerce, you must choose non-accepted interstate commerce to be qualified to operate in both types of interstate commerce. Intrastate commerce. You operate in accepted intrastate commerce when you drive a CMV only in intrastate commerce activities for which your state of licensure has determined do not require you to meet the state's medical certification requirements. Contact your SDLA about their requirements. You operate in non-accepted intrastate commerce when you drive a CMV only in intrastate commerce and are required to meet your state of licensure's medical certification requirements. Contact your SDLA about their requirements. If you operate in both accepted intrastate commerce and non-accepted intrastate commerce, you must choose non-accepted intrastate commerce. 1.2.3 Self-Certification Statements. When completing an application for your CDL, you will be required to check the box next to the statement that describes your status. The actual statements on your application may vary from those shown below. Interstate non-accepted. I certify that I operate or expect to operate in interstate commerce, that I am subject to and meet the federal DOT medical card requirements under 49 CFR Part 391, and that I am required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate. Interstate accepted. I certify that I operate or expect to operate in interstate commerce, but engage exclusively in transportation or operations accepted under 49 CFR Sections 390.3, F. 391.2, 391.68 or 398.3 from all or parts of the qualification requirements of 49 CFR Part 391, and that I am not required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate. Intrastate non-accepted. I certify that I operate or expect to operate entirely in intrastate commerce, that I am subject to and meet the medical requirements for my state, and that I am required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate. Intrastate accepted. I certify that I operate or expect to operate entirely in intrastate commerce, that I am not subject to the medical requirements for my state, and that I am not required to obtain a medical examiner's certificate. 1.3 CDL disqualifications. 1.3.1 General. You may not drive a commercial motor vehicle if you are disqualified for any reason. 1.3.2 Alcohol, leaving the scene of an accident, and commission of a felony. It is illegal to operate a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration, BAC, is 0.04% or more. If you operate a CMV, you shall be deemed to have given your consent to alcohol testing. You will lose your CDL for at least 1 year for a first offense for driving a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration is 0.04% or higher. Driving a CMV under the influence of alcohol. refusing to undergo blood alcohol testing, driving a CMV while under the influence of a controlled substance, leaving the scene of an accident involving a CMV, committing a felony involving the use of a CMV, driving a CMV when the CDL is suspended, causing a fatality through negligent operation of a CMV. You will lose your CDL for at least 3 years if the offense occurs while you are operating a CMV that is placarded for hazardous materials. You will lose your CDL for life for a second offense. You will lose your CDL for life if you use a CMV to commit a felony involving controlled substances. You will be put out of service for 24 hours if you have any detectable amount of alcohol under 0.04%. 1.3.3 Serious traffic violations. Serious traffic violations are excessive speeding, 15 miles per hour or more above the posted limit, reckless driving, improper or erratic lane changes, following a vehicle too closely, traffic offenses committed in a CMV in connection with fatal traffic accidents, driving a CMV without obtaining a CDL or having a CDL in the driver's possession, and driving a CMV without the proper class of CDL and/or endorsements. You will lose your CDL for at least 60 days if you have committed two serious traffic violations within a 3-year period involving a CMV. For at least 120 days for three or more serious traffic violations within a 3-year period involving a CMV. 1.3.4 Violation of out-of-service orders. You will lose your CDL for at least 90 days if you have committed your first violation of an out-of-service order. For at least 1 year if you have committed two violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. For at least 3 years if you have committed three or more violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. 1.3.5 Railroad Highway Grade Crossing Violations. You will lose your CDL for at least 60 days for your first violation. For at least 120 days for your second violation within a 3-year period. For at least 1 year for your third violation within a 3-year period. These violations include violation of a federal, state or local law or regulation pertaining to one of the following 6 offenses at a railroad highway grade crossing. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to stop before reaching the crossing if the tracks are not clear. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to slow down and check that the tracks are clear of an approaching train. For drivers who are always required to stop, failing to stop before driving onto the crossing. For all drivers failing to have sufficient space to drive completely through the crossing without stopping. For all drivers failing to obey a traffic control device or the directions of an enforcement official at the crossing. For all drivers failing to negotiate a crossing because of insufficient undercarriage clearance. 1.3.6 Hazardous Materials Endorsement Background Check and Disqualifications. If you require a hazardous materials endorsement, you will be required to submit your fingerprints and be subject to a background check. You will be denied or you will lose your hazardous materials endorsement if you are not a lawful permanent resident of the United States. Renounce your United States citizenship. Are wanted or under indictment for certain felonies. Have a conviction in military or civilian court for certain felonies. Have been adjudicated as lacking mental capacity or have been involuntarily committed to a mental health facility as specified in Section 1572.109. Are considered to pose a security threat as determined by the Transportation Security Administration. The background check procedures vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Your licensing agency will provide you with all the information you need to complete the required TSA background check procedures. 1.3.7 Traffic violations in your personal vehicle. The Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act, MCSIA, of 1999 requires a CDL holder to be disqualified from operating a commercial motor vehicle if the CDL holder has been convicted of certain types of moving violations in their personal vehicle. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended due to violations of traffic control laws, other than parking violations, you will also lose your CDL driving privileges. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, cancelled, or suspended due to alcohol, controlled substance or felony violations, you will lose your CDL for 1 year. If you are convicted of a second violation in your personal vehicle or CMV, you will lose your CDL for life. If your license to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, cancelled, or suspended, you may not obtain a hardship license to operate a CMV. 1.4 Other CDL Rules. There are other federal and state rules that affect drivers operating CMVs in all states. Among them are: you cannot have more than one license. If you break this rule, a court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail and keep your home state license and return any others. You must notify your employer within 30 days of conviction for any traffic violations, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you were driving. You must notify your motor vehicle licensing agency within 30 days if you are convicted in any other jurisdiction of any traffic violation, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you were driving. You must notify your employer within 2 business days if your license is suspended, revoked, or cancelled, or if you are disqualified from driving. You must give your employer information on all driving jobs you have held for the past 10 years. You must do this when you apply for a commercial driving job. No one can drive a commercial motor vehicle without a CDL. A court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail for breaking this rule. If you have a hazardous materials endorsement, you must notify and surrender your hazardous materials endorsement to the state that issued your CDL within 24 hours of any conviction or indictment in any jurisdiction, civilian or military, for, are found not guilty by reason of insanity of a disqualifying crime listed in 49 CFR 1572.103, who is adjudicated as lacking mental capacity or have been involuntarily committed to a mental institution as specified in 49 CFR 1572.109, or who renounces his or her U.S. citizenship. Your employer may not let you drive a commercial motor vehicle if you have more than one license or if your CDL is suspended or revoked. A court may fine the employer up to $5,000 or put him, her in jail for breaking this rule. All states are connected to one computerized system to share information about CDL drivers. The states will check on drivers' accident records to be sure that drivers do not have more than one CDL. You are not allowed to hold a mobile telephone to conduct a voice communication or dial a mobile telephone by pressing more than a single button when driving. You are not allowed to send or read text messages while driving. You must be properly restrained by a safety belt at all times while operating a commercial motor vehicle. The safety belt design holds the driver securely behind the wheel during a crash, helping the driver to control the vehicle and reduces the chance of serious injury or death. If you do not wear a safety belt, you are 4 times more likely to be fatally injured if you are thrown from the vehicle. Your state may have additional rules that you must also obey. 1.5 International Registration Plan International Fuel Tax Agreement. If you operate a CDL-required vehicle in interstate commerce, the vehicle, with few exceptions, is required to be registered under the International Registration Plan, IRP, and the International Fuel Tax Agreement, IFTA. These federally mandated programs provide for the equitable collection and distribution of vehicle license fees and motor fuels taxes for vehicles traveling throughout the 48 contiguous United States and 10 Canadian provinces. Under the IRP, jurisdictions must register apportioned vehicles, which includes issuing license plates and cab cards or proper credentials, calculate, collect and distribute IRP fees, audit carriers for accuracy of reported distance and fees, and enforce IRP requirements. Registrant responsibilities under the plan include applying for IRP registration with base jurisdiction, providing proper documentation for registration, paying appropriate IRP registration fees, properly displaying registration credentials, maintaining accurate distance records, and making records available for jurisdiction review. The basic concept behind IFTA is to allow a licensee, motor carrier, to license in a base jurisdiction for the reporting and payment of motor fuel use taxes. Under the IFTA, a licensee is issued one set of credentials which will authorize operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. The fuel use taxes collected pursuant to the IFTA are calculated based on the number of miles, kilometers, traveled in the number of gallons, liters, consumed in the member jurisdictions. The licensee files one quarterly tax return with the base jurisdiction by which the licensee will report all operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. It is the base jurisdiction's responsibility to remit the taxes collected to other member jurisdictions and to represent the other member jurisdictions in the tax collection process, including the performance of audits. An IFTA licensee must retain records to support the information reported on the IFTA quarterly tax return. The IRP registrant and the IFTA licensee may be the vehicle owner or the vehicle operator. The requirement for acquiring IRP plates for a vehicle and IFTA license for a motor carrier is determined by the definitions from the IRP plan and the IFTA for qualified vehicle and qualified motor vehicle. For purposes of IRP, a qualified vehicle is, except as provided below, any power unit that is used or intended for use in two or more member jurisdictions and that is used for the transportation of persons for hire or designed, used, or maintained primarily for the transportation of property, and I, has two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight in E, excess of 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms, or E, has three or more axles, regardless of weight, or IV, is used in combination, when the gross vehicle weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms. While similar, the qualified motor vehicle in IFTA means a motor vehicle used, designed, or maintained for transportation of persons or property and 1. Having two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight exceeding 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms, or 2. Is used in combination, when the weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms gross vehicle or registered gross vehicle weight. Qualified motor vehicle does not include recreational vehicles. If the vehicle you operate is registered under IRP and you are a motor carrier licensed under IFTA, then you are required to comply with the mandatory record-keeping requirements for operating the vehicle. A universally accepted method of capturing this information is through the completion of an individual vehicle distance record, IVDR, sometimes referred to as a driver trip report. This document reflects the distance traveled and fuel purchased for a vehicle that operates interstate under apportioned IRP, registration and IFTA fuel tax credentials. Although the actual format of the IVDR may vary, the information that is required for proper record keeping does not. In order to satisfy the requirements for individual vehicle distance records, these documents must include the following information. Distance. Per Article 4 of the IRP plan. I. Date of trip, starting and ending. E. Trip origin and destination, city and state or province. E. Route of travel. IV. Beginning and ending odometer or hubometer reading of the trip. V. Total distance traveled, V. In jurisdiction distance. V. Power unit number or vehicle identification number. Fuel. Per Section P560 of the IFTA Procedures Manual .300, an acceptable receipt or invoice must include, but shall not be limited to, the following. .005 Date of purchase. .010 Seller's name and address. .015 Number of gallons or liters purchased. .020 Fuel type. .025 Price per gallon or liter or total amount of sale. .030 unit number or other unique vehicle identifier. .035 purchaser's name. An example of an IVDR that must be completed in its entirety for each trip can be found in Figure 1 below. Each individual IVDR should be filled out for only one vehicle. The rules to follow when trying to determine how and when to log an odometer reading are the following. Black small square at the beginning of the day. Black small square when leaving the state or province. Black small square at the end of the trip per day. Not only do the trips need to be logged, but the fuel purchases need to be documented as well. You must obtain a receipt for all fueling and include it with your completed IVDR. Make sure that any trips that you enter are always filled out in descending order and that your trips include all state provinces that you traveled through on your route. There are different routes that a driver may take, and most of the miles may be within one state or province. Whether or not the distance you travel is primarily in one jurisdiction or spread among several jurisdictions, all information for the trip must be recorded. This includes the dates, the routes, odometer readings, and fuel purchases. By completing this document in full and keeping all records required by both the IRP and the IFTA, you will have ensured that you and your company are in compliance with all state and provincial laws surrounding fuel and distance record-keeping requirements. The IVDR serves as the source document for the calculation of fees and taxes that are payable to the jurisdictions in which the vehicle is operated, so these original records must be maintained for a minimum of 4 years. In addition, these records are subject to audit by the taxing jurisdictions. Failure to maintain complete and accurate records could result in fines, penalties, and suspension or revocation of IRP registrations and IFTA licenses. For additional information on the IRP and the requirements related to the IRP, contact your base jurisdiction Motor Vehicle Department or IRP, Inc., the official repository for the IRP. Additional information can be found on the IRP, Inc. website at www.irponline.org. There is a training video on the website homepage available in English, Spanish, and French. For additional information on IFTA and the requirements related to IFTA, contact the appropriate agency in your base jurisdiction. You will also find useful information about the agreement at the official repository of IFTA at http://www.iftac.org/index.php.